This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome, Remarkable Results Radio. I'm your host, Carm Capriato, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast. Hey, did you know that there are over 1,000 archived episodes in the catalog? There are. You can search any topic on my website, remarkableresults.biz. You're going to love this episode. My panel dives into a role play like we've never done before. Chad Jax and Ethan Smith swap their roles, interacting as a service advisor answering a phone call from a customer. They play an average service advisor, and then they redo the scenario as an exceptional service advisor. Rena Renabom offers coaching in between. Answering the phone is often the first interaction you have with a client opportunity. And are you listening to recorded calls to make them better? Do your service advisors need the occasional tune-up? Well, this episode will help in all cases. Hey, thanks to our partners, Shopware and Broadly, for providing this episode. Ring, ring, it's the 2020s calling, and they're telling you it's time for an upgrade. Head on over to the internet and type in getshopware.com. These friendly folk are excited to meet you and share all that cloud-based shop management has to offer. Hey, are you missing out on customers who call the shop during off hours? Well, with Broadly's web chat feature, customers can get the answers that they need even when you're not in the shop. Talk to my great friends over there on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Hey, don't forget, all Town Hall Academy videos from the live broadcast reside on my Carm Capriato YouTube page. Please subscribe and replay it for your staff on a lunch and learn and then discuss. What a professional panel we have here today. Rena Renabom, the CEO of Empowered Advisor. Hi, Rena.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you here. Chad Jax is with us, Service Advisor, Dale's Service Center, Davenport, Iowa. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Carm. Good to be here.
Ethan Smith is with us, Service Advisor at Casey Automotive Chantilly. And Sterling, Virginia?
Yeah, Sterling. We have two locations.
Two locations. How cool is that? Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Okay, guys, service advisor role plays. This is going to be so much fun. You know, Rena and I got on the phone a while back and we said, hey, let's take our whole service advisor role play thing up to a new level, a new notch. And so we're going to do this. What you're going to see is potentially three, but maybe just two role plays. And the great new change in our role play, everyone, is this. We're going to do a role play based on what the average service advisors may be doing. And then Rena's going to give some, you know, coaching and advice, and the guys are going to talk amongst each other. And then we're going to go out and do it what we classify as the right way, if there is a right way versus a wrong way. So good to have you all here. Rena, I'm going to turn this over to you. I know that the first role play is going to be about needing a transmission. And Rena, of course, is going to be the coach. Chad is going to be the service advisor. Ethan is going to be the customer.
All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with what we feel like Carm, like what you said, with an average call. So this would be something that the average customer should expect to hear. So we'll go ahead and let you guys start. Do you want me to ring the phone for you guys?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Ring, ring, ring.
Dale Service Center.
Hey, I am just calling in to see what it might cost to replace my transmission.
Okay. What's going on with the vehicle?
It's accelerating kind of weird. Once I get coasting, it's fine. But accelerating, it just shifts weird, abnormal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's that? Mm-hmm. No. Sorry, buddy. A guy came in and asked me about a part. Could you repeat what you just said to me?
It's shifting weird, and when I try to accelerate.
Okay. How long has that been going on?
A few weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What type of vehicle are we talking about?
It is a 2016 Honda Accord.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Say $162 to check it out. I can get you the next Wednesday. Would that work for you?
Okay. It should work. Do you know like how much it might cost to replace it?
Maybe $6,000. I don't know. But we'll take a look at it and figure it out.
Okay. What time do you want me to come in?
Let's see. Next Wednesday. Chop it off at 8:00.
Okay. All right. Do you need any information from me at all?
Yeah. Let's get your name.
Okay, it's Ethan.
Mm-hmm. Ethan, all right, guys. One number.
Okay. Let's stop the pain. You guys, did anybody see Carm's face?
He was yawning.
Oh my, no, that was not a yawn. That was a, oh. What is going on here?
No, you know, when I felt what you guys were doing, Chad, you were just so deadpan, so perfect, so not into the call. And I'm thinking, well, if this is normal in our industry, the top shops don't do this. I know that for a fact. But I think what we're trying to do is to show how absurd phone conversations from service advisors to customers can be. So thank you for rocking my world, Chad. That was really good, by the way.
So I think that we could probably all agree in this room here that there wasn't any relationship built with that customer. Definitely, you know, Chad was not interested in the call. He didn't want to be on the call. He was interrupted by somebody and that became more important than the customer. I really like that, Ethan, you said as the customer, do you even want my information? You know, I do. I hear this happen a lot on calls that the customer has to say, hey, I want an appointment. I called because I want to make sure when I get there that you guys are going to be there and you're going to be available for me and you know why I'm coming in. So I want to go back to, you know, something that we have been learning for a long time that we've been going over, and that's our first three steps when dealing with a price shopper. Your first step is getting to know the customer. So what was that person's name and, you know, when's the last time that they had their car in our shop? And then the next thing is, what about the car? What sort of symptoms is Ethan experiencing and how long? And, you know, we just told him $6,000 and he maybe doesn't even need a transmission. So we should probably know more about the car, more about why Ethan is calling us and what he needs from us and then what we can offer him. So step one is get to know the customer. Step two, get to know the vehicle. And step three is offer the inspection. I think that as service advisors, we jump in too quick to offering, hey, this is what you need. You need to come in for an inspection, which, you know, the thing is the path of least resistance is honestly, the customer probably does, but the customer doesn't believe that. So it's our job to get the customer to believe that they need to come in for an inspection. And the only way to do that is ask enough questions.
Let me ask a question to the whole team. Chad threw $6,000 at Ethan near the end. Ethan, knowing that, okay, I'll take an appointment, calls the next shop, takes an appointment, calls the next shop, takes an appointment, and he ghosts the other two because someone told him $4,900 instead of $6,000. And they all did the same thing. Basically, maybe Ethan was shopping for price, but Chad never, you know, tried to relate that we're going to do much more than have you just drop your car off. So in the real world setting, Rena, all Ethan probably became at that point in time after that terrible role play, just a fisher. He was just a fisher at the end there.
Yeah, I agree that if we just give a price, we're only giving people price to compare. So we should talk about our warranty. We should talk about the skill level of our technicians. We should talk about the amenities, the features and benefits of our shop, because that's what really is going to set us apart. It isn't the price. It's who we are and what you're going to receive when you get here.
You guys want to show us how it really works?
Why not?
Love to.
All right, guys, I'll go ahead and ring the phone. Ring, ring, ring.
Thank you for calling Dale Service Center. My name is Chad, and how may I help you?
Hi, I am looking to get my transmission replaced in my vehicle.
Okay, we can help you out with that. And who am I speaking with?
Ethan.
Hi, Ethan. Ethan, just in case I get disconnected, what's your phone number?
It's 555-555.
Uh-huh. Five, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right. Ethan, tell me a little bit about this transmission and the vehicle itself. What's going on?
Well, the vehicle is a Honda Accord. For the past few weeks, it's just been shifting abnormally. It hasn't really been doing what it's supposed to, and I kind of feel like it's the transmission. I've done some research online, and that's at least what I've been reading about. And yeah, I hear it's expensive to do that, and I'm just looking to see what it is to replace it.
Totally understandable. Ethan, have you been in here to see us before at Dale's?
I have not, no.
Okay, so this vehicle would be new to me, so I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. How long have you had this vehicle?
I've had it for a couple of years now.
Any recent repairs or modifications done to the vehicle?
I've had maintenance done to it, but I mean, that's really it. I've only had to do like brakes and tires. It's a fairly new car.
Okay. Do you know if you've checked the transmission fluid at all on that?
No, I don't know how to do that.
Okay, we can take care of that for you. Ethan, here's my professional opinion. Before we just throw a transmission at it, this could be something simple that's easy to fix, and we can stay away from a transmission. Here's my professional opinion. I'd like to get you to come up here. Is there any check engine lights on the vehicle?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. Well, we can definitely still hook up our scan tool to it and communicate with it, see if there's anything stored or hidden. We can go for a ride with you with one of my technicians and get a feel for that. And then we can make an informed decision with you here on which path we should go to get your vehicle fixed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. How much would that cost for you guys to do that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The testing is $162 to do that. If that's okay on that, with tax out the door, we do a 3-year, 36,000-mile parts and labor warranty. That's what that testing does. So you'll get my technician's expertise, their knowledge, and basically you're going to get a guy that knows Hondas. We're very good. We've been in business for 40-some years. What's next Monday look like for you? Is that a day you're available to drop it off?
I could do next Monday.
Okay. Do you need a shuttle ride home or a loaner vehicle? Do you have transportation?
Ride home would be great, actually.
I can help you with that. No problem. Okay, Ethan, I've got your information and your phone number down here. If anything should change, feel free to give me a call, and we'll move that appointment for you. We'll put Monday, 8 o'clock. Sound good?
Yeah, that works.
Perfect. Have a great weekend, Ethan. We'll see you Monday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Wow, that was a little bit more like soft butter.
Yeah. Good job, guys. That was great. You know, one of the things that I wanted to say is, we ended up building a relationship with a customer and knowing that this car was a good fit for our shop. This is a car that we know, Ethan told us, it's been maintained. This is a good car. You know, it sounds like he doesn't try to work on it himself. He said, I don't even know how to check the transmission fluid. That's a good car for us. So Chad did his shop a favor as well by making sure that he was converting a good customer for the shop. I thought that was great. Ethan, how did you feel as the customer?
A lot better than the last call. I don't know who I spoke to before, but this guy this time around was very professional. I like how he, you know, talking about shop amenities and what we offer. I think that when most people call in and they get like a quote for what looking at their car is, like diagnosis, they hear that big number. And what they don't think about is why that is the way it is, which usually comes down to what that shop offers, like shuttle service or loaner vehicles, or you know, how experienced your technicians is. So I think that's good that he mentioned that.
Hey, Chad, I have a question for you. Based on your phone skills, your training, how do you develop and build trust/relationships over the phone?
Listen to the customer. The customers don't always know what to say, except for, you know, how much does it cost for this? Make them feel at ease. Tell them what Ethan was just saying, what you can offer, what you can do. I like to take the word no out of my vocabulary. I think yes is, I think everything can be addressed. I think you can break down walls, build bridges to that customer. We can meet their needs. We're definitely capable of doing that. And it's us, the service advisors, that need to look at that person and say, hey, I can help them, and listen to their needs and work off of that.
You know, in that first role play, I didn't hear as many questions as you asked in the second. And isn't questions one of the keys to developing relationships? Because you want to listen, but you're also trying to develop. That individual tells you things you may not necessarily know if you didn't ask.
Absolutely. So I thought, you know, asking him if he's been in before. So I haven't seen the vehicle. This is new to us. Ethan said he didn't do much of, he's maintaining the vehicle, but he didn't know about changing the transmission fluid or where to check the dipstick or if it can. Asking those questions is so key. And the more questions you ask, the easier the testing is for the technicians. And you can get to the root of the problem fairly quickly, and you can really help that customer save a lot of money and get good service.
Cool stuff, Rena. Thank you so much for this. Let's go into role play number two, and we're going to see the good way and then the bad way. Ethan, you are now the service advisor. Chad, you're the customer. Rena, of course, you continue to be the coach.
Ring, ring, ring.
Thank you for calling Casey's Automotive. This is Ethan.
Yeah, Ethan, I got a check engine light on. How much do you guys cost to diagnose that?
Okay. What vehicle are you driving?
It's a 2003 Pontiac.
Okay. Have you had codes pulled already on that?
Yeah, I took it to the parts store, and they said it's an oxygen sensor, but there's multiple ones on it, so I don't know. So I replace them all, but I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we can definitely take a look at that for you. I mean, we may just need to put an O2 sensor in the vehicle to fix that, or it may be like a catalytic converter. But yeah, I mean, we charge like $150 to check that over and figure that out. Can you bring it in next Tuesday?
Next Tuesday? No, I'm busy that day. Can I get in Thursday?
Yeah, no, that works. Can we see it 7, 8 a.m.?
Yeah, I can make that work. Now, how much is this going to cost?
I'd say, like I said, anywhere from like $150, probably to maybe even $170. It just depends.
Okay, is that price come off at the end? What if I do the repairs with you?
No, so that stays on there.
Okay, why is that?
It's diagnosis that we cover for our technician, and it's just separate from the repair. That's at least how that we work diagnosis.
Okay, and yeah, I looked online and I seen that the oxygen sensors I can get for like $24 a piece. Is that probably roughly what will cost to do? Maybe with that testing, maybe looking at $300.
Should be. I mean, at least as parts are concerned, they should be around that same price if that's what you're seeing.
Okay. All right. Do you take my name and number down?
Oh, sure. What's a good phone number for you?
555-5555.
Awesome. We'll see you Thursday.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Chad, you are such a grumpy customer.
I know.
<You are. laughs> I like it. You know, I think that when I hear Chad, I think about, you know, Chad has probably called multiple other shops, right? And he's probably frustrated because his check engine light is on. He's been told no by a bunch of different people. He hasn't had people that are very helpful. And so in turn, you kind of start to get a little bit rough when you're dealing with your shop.
Attitude. He had an attitude.
Yeah. And I don't think it's okay, but I understand that over time you just get frustrated that you're not getting anybody to like ask you some questions and build some doubt and build some hope. And I think Ethan, you know, at least, you know, he was, you know, pleasant to talk to, but, you know, he didn't really ask very many questions about the car. He didn't build any doubt. He didn't build any hope. I would like to hear some more questions from you, Ethan. I'd like to hear, you know, how many miles does the car have? What sort of symptoms is he experiencing? How long has he been experiencing those symptoms? You know, I kind of like what Chad did in the last call. Chad uncovered the lifeline. So how long did you own it? And, you know, kind of like, what do you have planned for the car? And that's also really helpful of sometimes sending somebody in a good direction or, you know, helping them make a decision. So, you know, again, step one is get to know your customer. I don't even think we knew Chad's name until the end of the call or if that car has even ever been in. And sometimes if we find that the car has been in the shop, we're able to now talk to the customer differently, take a very different approach. I would definitely start with getting to know Chad, go to getting to know more about the car, and then making your recommendation of the inspection.
How do you get out of the $24 O2 sensor debacle?
It's a very fun conversation, for sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and I'm sure that happens every day on the phone, where you're trying to just yes the customer because you're trying to get him in, and then you have to face the consequence later because you did not necessarily tell them the real part of that story.
But the real part is we don't even know if the car needs that, right? And so I honestly, like, there really isn't a point in going after that conversation quite yet, right? Because we really just need to bring the car in, find out what's going on, and then give them a price from there.
Are we as service advisors willing to go the whole nine yards with a customer like Chad? Are we looking to pull the positivity out of his particular attitude, since we may be the third shop he's called and his third appointment that he's set? Do we get crushed, Ethan, Chad, as service advisors, by that attitude that you sense? Or are your skills to the point where you want to flip that?
I like a challenge. I don't mind trying to flip that. I think obviously the vehicle needs attention. It needs to be fixed. He's making calls. He's probably getting poor customer service from all these shops he's calling. I think we're in a position to take that business and fix his customer's car. This could turn into a long-term a deal. He's maybe has multiple cars, family members. We start getting referrals, good reviews.
Yeah, don't let his negative attitude hurt yours. Every single phone call is a huge opportunity, like you say. Wow.
I completely agree with you. I think that the biggest thing whenever you go into a conversation like that is not to judge too quickly. And at least the reason why I feel that way is because, you know, like we've been saying, that person's likely called around and has been asking people, you know, how much is this going to cost or what am I going to need? That person really just wants answers. He wants some peace of mind, wants to know what he's going to need to get this, you know, nasty check engine light resolved. You know, that customer's got some kind of pain that we can do our absolute hardest to try to resolve. And I think that ultimately what we need to do as service advisors for those customers is be that help and give them the opportunity to experience what it is for a shop that looks out for them, that is in their best interest, that you know, will help in any way that they can. And I think that usually customers like that haven't experienced that yet.
You have to have that giver mentality, right, Ethan?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much to Megan Deneff and Bill Connor, Jerry Holcomb, Keith Perkins, and others that are hanging out with us here today. That's great. Hopefully you're all learning something. And remember, the cool thing about the Tunnel Academy and everyone that we do is you can just literally just go out and have a lunch and learn one day and play the video with and for your team, or just tell them, go home and watch that. Come back. Let's talk about what we heard, what we learned. So thank you so much, Rena. Are we ready to do it right now?
All right, here we go. Ring, ring, ring.
Thank you for calling Cases Automotive. This is Ethan. How can I help you?
Yeah, Ethan, I got a check engine light on my car. What's it cost to bring it up to you guys and take a look at it?
Okay, so we've got a check engine light on. I'm sorry to hear that we've got that light on the dash. With that being said, who am I speaking with?
Yeah, my name is Chad.
Chad? Okay, and Chad, have we seen you here before?
No, I've not been up to your location.
Okay, well, I appreciate you giving us a call and giving us the opportunity to help you. So with that being said, has anybody looked at this already before for you?
I did take it up to the local parts store. They hooked a scanner up to it and said it was like an oxygen sensor.
Oxygen sensor, okay. Yeah, and what year make and model is your vehicle?
Oh, it's a 2003 Pontiac Grand Prix.
Okay, perfect. So if anything, what I'd say that would be the best thing for this vehicle is if we were to have one of our certified experienced technicians really dig into this vehicle and figure out why this code is on. The biggest difficulty when we have a check engine light is that there's just so many variables. And what we don't want to do is essentially guess. What we want to do is make a repair and get this light to go away for you. So with that being said, is there a time possibly that I can see in here maybe this Thursday to take a look at that for you?
Yeah, I can make Thursday work. Okay. Do you know if you guys find out what's wrong with it, will I get the car back that same day?
It honestly, it truthfully depends what repair that we need. And it also comes down to parts availability. What we try to do is we try to use either OEM or close to OEM parts for a vehicle, especially for like a check engine light. Because the biggest thing we want to ensure is that if we, like I said, make a repair, we want it to stay out. So, yeah, I mean, that is all stuff that we can go over with you and talk about once we have you here and get to know you and the car and go over those things. But, yeah, does that still sound okay that we do that for you?
It does. Okay. I forgot to mention that the car does pull a little bit to the left when I accelerate. Okay. Do you guys do alignments?
Yeah, we definitely do alignments. So what we can also do for you and what we cover in our courtesy inspection is doing a test drive with the vehicle. Whether you'd like to accompany the technician is completely up to you. We'll test drive that, check the alignment for you and let you know if that alignment is out and go from there. And if so, if it does, we'll let you know what that costs.
Okay. All right. Ethan, what's your address?
We are located at 45891 Woodland Road, Suite 130 in Sterling.
Would I be able to drop it off Wednesday night? Do you have a drop box?
Yeah, we certainly do. We've got a Dropbox in the front of our building, and if you at all need to pick up after hours, we've also got a night pickup too.
Oh, that's convenient. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, I appreciate it. I got it down for Thursday at 8 o'clock.
Awesome, Chad. And just before you go, may I get a phone number for you, just in case I need to contact you?
Absolutely. 555-555-5555.
Awesome. Chad, well, I appreciate you giving us a call. We look forward to looking at this here on Thursday for you.
Thanks so much, Ethan.
Thank you.
Great job, guys. One of the things that I want to say is Ethan is really always good at expressing empathy. And it generally really takes a customer who is feeling really frustrated, feeling, you know, just they haven't had anybody express any empathy to them. Just sorry that that's happening. It sounds frustrating. And it generally just turns the customer to a completely different person. So you can take this really rough, frustrated person and just give them a little bit of love, and they turn into a soft, mushy love bug for you. I don't know if you're looking for a love bug at the shop, but you know what I mean. One thing that I want to say is that I'm really careful that we don't use acronyms. OEM, most people don't know what OEM means. Not even all industry people know what OEM means. So I'm very careful with that. But I loved the way that you took this call, Ethan. I think that it was definitely changed, Chad. It's harder to be grouchy and mean when somebody is being kind and has great tone. And I think we can see these two role plays that we've done. The biggest thing, the biggest change is the tone of the service advisor and how that changed the tone of the customer.
Right. Yeah, I think you're definitely correct. I like how you, I'm thankful that you pointed out about the OEM. I think that, like I said before, one of our biggest roles as a service advisor is education. And I think that when we go into, you know, whatever that repair might be for that customer, making sure that we educate them correctly enough as to, hey, this is what we do, this is what we need, and making sure that they clearly understand and that they're free to ask questions. I think that when you have that initial call, I feel like that sets you up for success, depending on how that call goes and how that relationship is going to be.
Hey, Carm here. Find out how to handle customers that have looked online for repair solutions. Have you ever switched shop management systems and were left high and dry without data migrations? The software world can be a tough one, especially if your software provider isn't supporting you in the way you need them to. My expert recommendation, switch to Shopware today. With best-in-class onboarding, year-round support, and data migration experts at your fingertips, Shopware won't leave you wanting more. Listen, their team is one of the most dedicated in the business when it comes to servicing their clients. So they're going to do what it takes to get you up and running seamlessly. Shopware currently supports data migrations for more than 150 shop management systems, and they're constantly adding more. If you're thinking, ugh, I come from an unsupported SMS, well, rest assured, their team will do the legwork for you to evaluate capabilities and provide a data migration solution. So, kick your feet up and visit GetShopware.com. You won't be disappointed. Would you ever consider going to a restaurant you've never heard of without first checking the reviews on Google? Well, probably not, right? Now think about someone who has to bring their car, one of their most valuable possessions, into a shop they haven't heard of. They're probably going to want to read some Google reviews first to make sure that they're going to a reputable place. Broadly is focused on helping auto shops increase their number of reviews on Google. Now, they know that that's one of the best ways to build trust with potential customers and get your business discovered online. Google reviews are going to make you stand out from your competition and get more customers coming into your shop. Trust me, reviews can make all the difference in your business. So what are you waiting for? Get Broadly's system to help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of five-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat and start chatting with a Broadly representative. Learn more on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Hey, guys. First of all, Robert Kennedy Jr., this is super cool. I'm going to run my service advisor through a few of these to see how they react before I hire them. Cool. cool idea, just, you know, across the desk from them or on the phone. Let's do a role play. I love that idea. But let me ask Chad and Ethan and Rena, too. Do you guys work off of a checklist, you know, like, if you will, something while you're on the phone to look over what you know are critical things you want to cover? Or is it just so inherent in you because you do this for a living, you don't need a, if you will, a little crypt sheet?
I'll say it's good to have a sheet next to you because sometimes you actually get so involved with the customer and building that relationship. You're talking sports with them or something, you know, and you don't want to forget about the reason you're having fun with them. They're relaxed, you know, so just to cover your bases. We're human. And that's a good kind of a problem if you're actually having a really good conversation with that customer and you kind of get a little off track. But just to keep you on track, it does not hurt to have a cheat sheet or a couple notes or whatever. But yeah, you want to hit your bullet points, cover everything. And then once that customer's at the door, you can always complete the rest of the information, such as their addresses and emails and things like that.
That's what I heard. I heard, do you have a Dropbox? I thought maybe, Ethan, you would have said, listen, we, you know, some of the things we do for our great customers is we have a Dropbox and, you know, do you know where we're located would be a really great question to ask instead of Chad saying, what's your address? I just was starting to think about if I was in your role and I'd say, I got to be sure I cover these basics through the formatting of questioning the customer. So I thought it was great. And thank you for breaking the code. Ethan, do you guys use like a cheat sheet? Would you ever do that?
Me and Rena have actually, we've talked about this before. And I think that what helped me a lot and what still helps me is at least just having, whether it's a specific checklist, but just at least a guide, at least something that you can look at or you can, you know, have reminders of and just think, have I covered this base? Have I gone through this already with the customer? And I think it not only covers basic things like information, you know, whether that's email, phone number, whatever it is, but also ask them questions like, hey, what is this vehicle? How many miles do you have? You know, how long has this been happening? You know, have you been somewhere else before? It's just certain things like that. I think a guide is great. I think that at least that I know that I can tend to get a little distracted and kind of end that conversation with the customer, and it helps.
That was my point. The customer could force you to get off track or at least miss some of the essential things you want to cover. And of course, all the noise that's going on in the building and somebody screaming at you, I need those parts or something like that. I mean, I know that doesn't happen in your shops.
So, Carm, I do provide all of the advisors with guides. Like a guide to the incoming call, just like a basic appointment, the guide to dealing with a price shopper, the guide to making a sale. But I do think that over time, they can probably move away from the guide as long as it becomes their go-to, right? So as soon as it's their habit, then I think that they can get rid of it. But I think that both Ethan and Chad will agree that you can take a long weekend and come back and all of a sudden one of your old habits is there. So, or like, hey, where did that guide go? Let's get back to that.
Yeah, that empathy thing that you talked about, Ethan, if someone said to me on the phone, so happy you called, mm-hmm. Man, to me, that's a strong thing in my head to hear someone saying, thank you, you're so happy you called, because he cares about making my car right. How cool is that? Wow, this was great. I love this. Great. I love this new format, Rena. I think you broke the code for us all. Okay, everybody, we're going to do role play number three, a transmission fluid service. Chad, you're going to be the service advisor. Ethan, the customer. Rena?
Did you guys see that somebody asked if we would do a tune-up? I know this is completely off. Well, like, we didn't talk about a tune-up at all,
what
but
do you
somebody
think?
Said in the chat.
I love a challenge.
I think we should do it because I do. I think that's a really good one. So I think we should do the tune-up.
Okay, cool. Let's do that.
Okay, so we'll stick with the same people in the same role. Okay, all right, here we go. Ring, ring, ring.
Dale Service Center, how can I help you?
Hey, I am looking to get a tune-up on my car. What do you guys charge for that?
It depends, buddy. What do we got?
Do you mean what vehicle do I have?
Yeah, what are you driving?
Okay, it's a 99 Jeep Wrangler.
Mm-hmm. Four-cylinder, six-cylinder?
Six.
Okay. Typically, tune-up on that, probably about $250. I can get you in next Monday if that works for you.
Okay. Curiosity, what parts are you going to be using to do the tune-up? And what different services do you guys do for a tune-up?
Basically, if you're asking, we can do the plugs, the wires, and I can check the air filter for you if you want, fuel filter. But generally, it's spark plugs and wires, usually what the customers here do. So,
okay. Do you guys have like a carbon cleaning service or something like that?
Yeah, I got some stuff I can dump in the tank for you. It's like $10 or something.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll give you guys a quick call back, and I'll let you know if I can come in.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, remind me not to go to Chad's place. I can check it if you want. I'm sure that happens 10,000 times a day, Chad, right?
One of the things that I actually do, Carm, is when I'm working with a shop, I'll call shops that are around that other shop just to see what other shops are doing. And I actually just did this in Fresno, California. I just secret shopped 8 shops. And I'm going to tell you, this is more common than our good role play. Truthfully, this is really what you, and when I call shops, I'm not calling shops that are, you know, like have one star with one review. I'm calling shops that have 4 and 5 stars with hundreds of reviews. And so I think this is truly, unfortunately, more common than we want to think or admit that it is, that we do find it's service advisors on a bad day, you know, and sometimes I think that they are just, you know, they answer a lot of calls. They just have to make it through it.
I say this much too often, but I have to. Our dearly departed Bob Greenwood was always on his soapbox about the professionalism of our industry. And he was way ahead of his time when he was talking about that. And Rena, with what you just said, that this is more common than not, what's it going to take for us to stop and realize that you can't flip a switch and be professional? You've got to go out. You've got to get training. You've got to have bigger, better, greater commitments to your customer and to the values in your company. And I guess if the culture is good and right and strong, then all of this stuff starts shining out through your communication process with your peoples and your customer. Great point. Thank you for that. Let's do it right.
Ring, ring, ring.
Thank you for calling Dale Service Center. My name is Chad, and how may I help you?
Hi, I'm looking to get a tune-up on my vehicle.
Absolutely, we can help you with that. Who am I speaking with?
Ethan.
Hi, Ethan. Have you ever been in to see us at Dale's before?
I have not. This would be my first time.
Oh, perfect. How'd you hear about us?
Just online. I'm just trying to search around for a place to do this for me.
Awesome. Thank you for giving me a shot. Tell me what the kind of vehicle you have.
It's a 99 Jeep Wrangler.
99 Jeep Wrangler. Pretty cool vehicles, man.
Thanks.
I love them. My mom had one back in the day. I loved it. The tune-up is what you were asking me about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We can help you with that.
So it's like spark plugs, carbon cleaning, whatever that really entails. What do you guys usually do when you guys get like a tune-up?
Well, first off, when the vehicle get here, it's going to get a complimentary multi-point safety inspection. That's done digitally. The technicians will go through it, check fluids, filters, batteries, lights, make sure everything is safe and secure around the vehicle. We'll check and make sure fluids are topped off and everything's in working order from there. And then, yes, what we'll do is we'll build you a correct estimate of what it would take to tune your vehicle up. Generally on something like that, I think that might have a distributor cap and rotor, spark plugs and wires. If okay. not, it might just be plugs and boots, but I'll know more when the vehicle comes in, Ethan. Okay. As far as, I think you mentioned a carbon cleaning. Yes, I do have a BG fuel induction kit that we do. My customers absolutely love it. We sell quite a few of those. It goes through the throttle body. Those replace the carburetors. And to keep those clean, that really prolongs the life of the engine. Customers are very happy with that. Ethan, can I get your name and number? Oh, I got your name, but can I get your phone number?
Sure. It's 555-5555. What do you guys normally charge for all this?
The initial estimate to do the tune-up's free. My technicians are going to build that estimate for me, and then I can get you the price on it. The price I do know for the fuel induction clean is going to be about $180, but I'll have an exact price for you when you come in, and then you can make a decision if you want to go with us on that. Now, all of our work is backed by a 3-year, 36,000-mile parts and labor warranty. It's nationwide. It's transferable, so if you sold that Jeep, Ethan, you can pass that along to the buyer. Usually it's a private buyer that would get it, and that can come back to our shop, and we'll take care of them too.
Okay. And am I okay to bring spark plugs? Or
generally, we like to provide them. That allows us to keep that 3-year, 36,000-mile parts and labor warranty on your invoice for you for that vehicle. So okay. If you're out of town and the spark plug should happen to foul, I don't think it would. But if you pulled into another shop and they could give me a call, let me know. We'll work with that shop, and we'll get that rectified for you right away.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. This Monday, I have a drop box up front. Do you need a shuttle ride home? I have free loaner cars that are available.
Yeah. A loaner car would be great if I can drop it off in the morning.
Absolutely. We could do like 8 o'clock. Would that work, Ethan?
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. For the loaner vehicle, I just ask that you bring a driver's license and proof of insurance with you.
Okay.
Ethan, you have a great weekend. Is there anything else I can do for you before I hang up?
That's all. I appreciate it.
Hey, take care.
You too.
Good job, guys. That was awesome. One of the things that I love that I hear Chad say a lot is my customers love it. Sometimes when he talks about his warranty, he says, you know, something. How do you say it, Chad, when you talk about the warranty?
If something should happen and we, you know, something that we installed, if should happen, you know, you can, you're out of state or something, you can go to a local shop in that area, contact me, and we're going to take care of that problem. If it, in fact, was the work that was related to what we did, of course.
And he says, my customers love this option. My customers love having this protection. I hear him say that a lot. You know, like he said about the BG service, right? He said, yes, this is a service that I offer to a lot of customers. This is something that they really like. I really like that he says that. And I also like that he... sometimes we do just have to go with what the customer is saying, right? Like instead of trying to say, well, you probably don't need a tune-up, right? Like there really isn't a point in having that conversation with the customer. I do think we could have talked about the symptoms a little bit to see if Ethan had symptoms to make sure that we were going down the right path. But ultimately, it did sound to me like Ethan knew what he was talking about, and I don't want to argue with him. You know, I mean, let's bring him in. Let's do the inspection. And it seemed like Ethan was reasonable. I think that they were building a good relationship.
To your point, Rena, I want to stop you. I wrote down here a question upon his question, how much is a tune-up? Would the response be, why do you think you need a tune-up or not? Or is that too argumentative?
I don't like that question personally because it's like, well, why do you think I don't? So my question is, well, what symptoms are you experiencing? And so then there's now the opportunity to talk more about the symptoms or say, yeah, you know what? I'm really not having any symptoms. I'm just wanting to do these things because, you know, I generally replace my spark plugs every 100,000 miles.
Are we assuming as service advisors, Chad and Ethan, that people that you really don't know, they're not customers, you don't know their tendencies, are doing a ton of research on YouTube or the internet trying to come up with what their armchair quarterback decisions?
Yeah, I think, especially nowadays, I think definitely. I think what we're seeing a lot is people are keeping their old cars and fixing their old cars. I'm a perfect example of that. My car is super old. I actually have a Wrangler that's super old. And I mean, when you go about it, I think a lot of people are using Google to not only find us, but to also, you know, put the code into the computer that the auto parts store gave them for free, you know, and try to look up, oh, is it this problem or is it this problem? I think at least that I feel that the majority of like people that call in for a price have done at least some research themselves. And that's, you know, why they say, you know, like you mentioned before, like a transmission or, you know, I got a check engine light on or, you know, I need a tune up. I think, especially nowadays, I think people are using the internet to the best of their abilities to do their own research. But I think that's also where we come into play. You know, we are that better teacher and we build a relationship with the customer to where they don't go to Google anymore. They instead they call you and they say, hey, you know, I've got this problem. What do I need to do to get this fixed? I've definitely made relationships with customers where they've stopped going to the internet to look at what the problems are, and they call us instead.
You know what I just love? I just wrote down, we'll become your Google. That's a cool idea. Just to drop in some kind of casual conversation, either face-to-face or on the phone, because then you're saying something that you already know, that he's already Googled his problem. It will become your Google. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I also agree with Ethan. I think that people are taking their time to look on Google. And then I think that as service advisors, we almost, I don't know if it's the word is annoyed or, but we feel like, great, now I'm going to have to argue with this person. And so sometimes I think we look at that kind of educated customer as somebody that is going to be a little bit more difficult. And so I think that we can shut down on that person. We can be like, yeah, this person was just looking for the cheapest place, or yeah, this person just wanted us to do what, you know, they think that their car needs. And so we start to shut down on them instead of do what Ethan just, you know, said is, you know, talk to them, ask them questions, understand a little bit more about what's going on with their car. You can build doubt. You can build some hope. You can be their Google. One thing that I tell advisors is don't tell people that you don't think they need it, because you don't really know either. You know, I mean, you can say, gosh, you know, based off of what you just told me, it's possible, but it's also possible you could need this or this. So I would want to confirm that before we went ahead and did a tune-up.
I love a comment Bill Connor made to, can I text you a map to our place? That's really cool. And thank you for that, Bill. I would think that that would be on the cheat sheet somewhere along the line, because again, in the heat of the moment, you may forget that. Even if it's a brand new person, they've never been to your place. I think it's one hell convenience. Again, it starts building that convenience. Why you continue to come here is, we have something called an easy button, and it could be the form of text. It could be information. It could be the website. I love that. That's a great idea. That's an easy button thing. This was great. Thank you for the new format, you know, the good way and the bad way. And we actually got all three role plays in. So let's go around the room. Marina, I'll give you the last word. Ethan, did you have any fun? Did you learn anything? And what would you like to tell our audience?
Yeah, no, I definitely really enjoyed this. This is a great opportunity. Thank you again for letting me on the show. I think that the only way that we can improve as service advisors is doing practice like this. And I think there's real world practice, but I also think that there are things that, you know, and what's great about, you know, also talking with Arena is figuring out, you know, where your strong points are and where your weak points are and working on both, you know, to the best of your abilities. So I'd say that if I could say anything about what we do and, you know, what our role is try to best be that educator and that person that gives that customer sympathy. Because I think that making that personal connection with them and also being an educator, I feel like builds the best kind of relationship, because then that opens up the door to, you know, personal things like, you know, are you guys moving? Are you going on vacation? You know, how are the kids? You know, how's the dog? You know, it opens up the door to a lot of stuff. And I think that connection and being that person that if someone has a problem or a light pops on or a tire gets low, that the first thing that person thinks of is, I should call Ethan. I should call Casey's Automotive. I should call Chad. You know, whatever it is, that you're that first thing that they think of.
Thank you so much. Ethan Smith, Service Advisor, Casey Automotive, Chantilly in Sterling, Virginia. Great. Loved your comments. I loved him so much that I made a note here. John DeJulius wrote a great book. There's this concept called FORD, F-O-R-D, Family, Occupation, Recreation, and Dreams. And he says you need to know that about every one of your customers. And through the question and answer or the relationship period, you start learning all this stuff and you build it into your CRM. And so when the person comes in, if you found out that they're getting ready to go away or they did go to Disney and they come back and say, hey, how was that trip to Disney? That's part of recreation, of course, knowing what they do for a living, how big their family is, and then any dreams that they may have solidifies that relationship. Thank you for that, Ethan. Chad, your final words.
First and foremost, thank you for having me on. This was a lot of fun. It was a good time. I want to really thank my coach, Rena. She's fantastic to work with. She is any questions, emails, texts. I bombard her with a lot of stuff. I'm always wanting to get better, and she's always there for me. Rena is really pulled my career up higher than I thought I could ever go. Now I don't think I have a ceiling anymore. It's just the sky's the limit. She's just wonderful to work with. So thank you, Rena. You've really, as you know, she pulled me out of a bad spot. I have had some other coaching experience before when the owner of my shop had come up and said, "Hey, what do you think about doing some coaching again?" My answer was no. He said no. And I said no. And then he said, "I want you to talk to somebody." And I actually got the interviewer. And I just hit it off. So she's amazing to work with. She lets you be you, but still work in the confines of, hey, this is our goal to make the customers, you know, fix their problems. You know, we're capable of doing that. And we can do that in a polite way. We can treat people like they want, like we want to be treated. And again, thank you, Rena. You're amazing.
Thanks, Chad. Service advisor Dale's Service Center in Davenport, Iowa, and a really tough customer. Man. Man, I'll tell you. See, he's been hammered so much in his life, he just wants to be the bad nemesis to Ethan. Thank you for taking that, Ethan, by the way. Rena, you have the last word, and thank you for bringing the team here.
Thank you guys for both being here. And Chad, I will get that check to you later for that referral. Thank you. Anyways, no, seriously, thank you for saying that. One thing that I said before when we were all in the green room earlier is these two guys, the best thing that they do is they are always asking me, can we listen to my recorded calls? They are great students. They both want to be better. Most people don't like listening to recorded calls. I am one of those people. I listen to myself, listen back to myself, and I say, why did I say that? Where did that come from? But it is the best tool. And so, you know, both of them ask me for recorded calls. They ask for, they're always there on time for their coaching calls. So, you know, I will say that your coach is going to make you do some tough things, but it's only because your coach wants you to be better.
Thank you, Rena. Let me put a bow on what you just said about listening to yourself. As really successful podcasters listen to every single episode that they produce for one particular reason, to always learn to get better. Great fitting comments. Thank you all. By the way, Rena Rennebaum, CEO of Empowered Advisor. Thank you so much. Everyone have a super and a great weekend. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.